The peace of the, I'm alive now. The peace of the risen Christ be with you this morning. It's good to see everybody. Lot going on our announcements page, so please do check on that, including tomorrow night is the women's banquet, and really we're already supposed to have turned in that we're coming to that, but I bet there's a little bit of wiggle room, and so if there's somebody that still wants to come speak to Gyla or to Kim, immediately following the service today, and we'll get that figured out. We also are approaching the time of the year where we have opportunity for you all to share musical gifts right now, and that starts pretty quick here, and right now nobody over the age of 11 is signed up, so we are grateful for those young musical talents, and we will enjoy it absolutely. But I'm just noting that as a word of invitation to any of you all, especially who are over the age of 11. If you're younger than you want to sign up again, that's great too. We love to have you. But inviting those who we have not heard from yet is what I'm doing this morning. So check that out. The sign-up sheet is right here in the hall. Put in another plug. I'm going to keep plugging our camp that we're hosting, our day camp from Luther Ridge that's going to be here. July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The youngest kids we can take are the kids who have just finished kindergarten this summer, and the oldest kids we'll take for this camp are the kids that have just finished the fifth grade. Don't need to be church members. This is a camp we're putting on for anybody. The registration forms are on our website. They're back in the back. So we would like to have those forms back before the 5th of June, if at all possible, because we are going to have to tell Luther Ridge approximately what our numbers are going to look like so they know how many staff people they're going to be sending, because they have to make those plans for the summer. And if we have 47 kids, they're going to need to send a different number of staff people than if we have 12 kids. We hope we land maybe somewhere in the middle of that this go around. But we just need to know. So please, if you have people who are interested, invite them, take them an application, send them an email with the link, whatever you do to share that kind of information, and we hope to see them. I think that's all I'm going to mention by way of announcements on that page. I do want to share a couple of prayer list updates. We need to pray for Carolina Conrad today, who is in the hospital with pneumonia at Thomasville. She was sick this week and went to the doctor this week, and just things didn't get better, and so went to the hospital on Friday night, was it, Paul? And I think is improved since she's been at the hospital and looking to come home maybe tomorrow, maybe today, outside chance, but maybe tomorrow. So we're thankful for that, but we'll keep praying our prayers. And I'm looking at a name that I've been pronouncing wrong.
Tulizzotto.
Vince Tulizzotto, who is on our prayer list. Herb shared an update that he received a kidney about 3 weeks ago and is doing great. So we give thanks for that answered prayer today. And we can continue to pray for him, but it's a lot different situation than it had been. So we're very grateful for that. Other announcements this morning for the good of the community.
Two thank you notes. Dear Holly Grove Lutheran Church, the Life Center of Davidson County truly appreciates your thoughtfulness and continued support. We welcome your visit to the Life Center at any time to see your gift in action through our participants. Sincerely, Nina Smith. Church, friends, and family, first of all, thank you for the continuous thoughts and prayers following the recent incidents in and around UNCC. I am so grateful for everything that the church has done for me over the past 4 years. Thank you for the scholarship each year. I have greatly appreciated it. Also, thank you for the Agape Committee for the small favors, as well as for all the love that I have felt from all of you. I would like to let you all know that I have accepted a special education teaching position at Waccamaw School at home near North Myrtle Beach, and have just moved back home. Again, thank you to all for your thoughts, prayers, money, and gifts over the past 4 years, as they have never gone unnoticed. Very much appreciation, Lexi Bodeford.
Bodford, right? Lexi Bodford. Yeah. Of the Walzer clan. Yeah. Yeah. I did notice one other thing I was supposed to make note of. We got a motorcycle ride happening Saturday, right? Is that true? How can it be May the 25th already, Saturday? But if you ride, if you know people who ride, please give them this. It's on the back cover of your bulletin. But we have what is consistently called a great motorcycle ride out here, and this is to raise money for our backpack program, so great cause too. I happen to know that there's another event raising money for the backpack program the same day, Saturday, right? Gracie and Gavin are having a lemonade stand, and there will be cake and tomato plants for sale at their house. And 50% of the proceeds go to the backpack program. Is that right, Gracie? Okay. So I don't know how many motorcycles will fit in the front of Andy and Crystal's front yard, but if anybody needs lemonade and tomato plants, maybe they just have to bring their saddlebags with them. I don't know if tomato plants go in saddlebags. So if you didn't hear, Herb said that you don't have to be a motorcycle rider on Saturday. If you want to come out and fellowship and see the bikes and eat, you can provide a donation or not. He said you could just come eat, but you're welcome to join us on Saturday. What time would be good to show up? If you're not going to ride, but you want to come see the bikes and eat or make a donation, 1 o'clock would be a good time to show up, and usually we're gathered right back here by the picnic shelter. That's a good word to put in. Thank you. We'll wish happy birthday to Harold, Judy, Amy, Taylor, Megan, Isabel, and Rusty this week, and happy anniversary to Mickey and Carol and Herbert and Debbie. Are there others we should add? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In front, just for a very brief meeting after church, please.
Stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, Come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue on page 138 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The whole world, for the
O Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will come this way for the children's message.
Good morning, everybody. How many of you have ever been to the zoo before? What did you see at the zoo? What kind of animals? Wolves, raccoons. How about big animals? Do you see any big animals or loud ones? A crocodile. Okay. Goodness, you guys have been to a great zoo, have all that. Camels. All right, so let's see if you've really been to the zoo or not. So we'll see if we can identify a few of these things. All right, guys.
Elephant.
How do you know that's an elephant? A gray has a long trunk. He's got a couple of tusks there.
And big ears.
And big ears, okay. All right, let's see. Let's see if maybe I can trick him on this one. All right.
A giraffe.
A giraffe. How do you know this is a giraffe?
Long neck.
What does he use? Why does he have a long neck?
So he can reach his food.
So he can reach his food. He eats out of the trees, doesn't he? What else does he have?
Lots
of spots over him. You guys are pretty good at this. Surely I'll get him on this one. Okay. I don't know if they'll get this one. You guys are smart. Goodness gracious. So how do you know that's not an elephant? He doesn't have a trunk, but he's got tiny ears, okay, and a trunk. Okay. All right, let's see. Maybe this one. I can't fool you guys at all. A zebra. So how do you know that's a zebra? He's got stripes. He's black and white. So a horse doesn't have those. So a zebra's a little bit special, right? Okay. All right. One more. I'll show you guys first this time. All right.
Lion.
A lion. Okay. So how do you know that's a lion? It has a big, beautiful mane. That kind of sets it off and sets it apart from other cats, doesn't it? So, all of these creatures that we would see in a zoo, you guys did a great job identifying them. And you knew just by looking at them what they were. But how about this? How in the world would somebody know just by looking at you that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? What do you think? Okay, by talking to them, tell them you go to church, you pray. What else? What are some other things that you could do maybe that they would see that you're a follower of Jesus Christ?
Help someone in need.
Okay, like Miss Wendy's doing. She's helping our kids with the backpack, food backpack ministry, right? With our bike ride and all the folks that come out and help. Stand up to bullies, right? Help somebody else. Help somebody out, right?
Pray for someone.
Yeah, these are all great things. All great things. And they all come down to one thing. That we love and care for one another. So this morning, in our lesson today, Jesus is going to give his disciples one commandment. That they love one another. And that they spread that love. So you guys think you can do that this week to continue to show that love and to spread it? All right. Pray with me here. Dear Father, help us live by the new commandment that Jesus gave his disciples. Help us to love others in the same way that Jesus loves us. So others will know we are his disciples. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, thank you guys. You have a great week.
Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happens three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. And at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered that the word of the Lord, how he said it, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift, then he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, and waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind filling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike,
old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful. When
the second reading is a reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and their God, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Judas had gone out from the Last Supper, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. For the people of Israel, dietary restrictions were important for maintaining ritual cleanliness. Oh, you might do business with a Gentile. You might greet one on the road. But since the Gentiles did not follow the dietary laws, eating with Gentiles was something that people didn't do, because sharing a table with somebody eating unclean foods would make you ritually unclean too. And the effects of that were significant. It not only meant that you couldn't enter the temple as someone who was unclean, you also couldn't have contact with the rest of the community, the rest of the people of Israel. So people just didn't eat with Gentiles. The dietary laws were what people believed God wanted them to do. It was an effort in good faith to understand and to do God's will, and it was based in Scripture, right? So for thousands of years, the chosen people of God and God stayed together. This is the way it had always been done. Which is why the believers in Jerusalem have such a hard time when they hear that not only have some Gentiles now accepted the word of God, but that Peter has been up there preaching to them and even eating with them. This whole story gets detailed in Acts chapter 10. We get the whole narration of the story. But we just read from Acts chapter 11, and we get it again, essentially, as Peter goes to Jerusalem to tell the believers there who were upset about this what had happened. He narrates the whole thing again to them. He tells them what had happened that made him do something so radical. And it all starts with Peter sitting there in Joppa praying on a roof, and suddenly he has this vision of all sorts of animals coming down from heaven, clean and unclean animals, ones that people were allowed to eat and ones that the people of God were not. And then a voice comes from heaven and tells Peter to kill and eat. But Peter knows perfectly well that this is a mixed group of animals, clean and unclean together, which means that for him, the whole lot of them are tainted. The whole batch is unclean now. So Peter says, "No way, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." And in fact, Peter is so adamant, he's so sure that he is in the right on this, that even though a very voice from heaven tells him to eat, Peter cannot get on board. Three times this happens. Three. I mean, how many times are you going to make a voice from heaven repeat itself? But Peter is so firm in his belief that he's right. And after all, there are scriptures that he can interpret to support his belief. So Peter can't imagine even doing it differently, even though God has a different plan. As it turns out, God is up to something new here, and Peter is behind. He's got some catching up to do. From the first time the story is told in Acts 10, we know that the messenger of God, the angel, appeared to Cornelius before Peter has any idea that any of this is happening. In fact, Cornelius hears this angel speak to him and then sends three men to look for Peter, and those three men are on the way already before Peter ever has his vision. So even though everyone in Cornelius' house is eventually filled by the Spirit and baptized when Peter preaches, the Holy Spirit was actually at work there in Cornelius' house long before Peter ever got there. Peter had a role to play, but God had been laying this groundwork for a long time before Peter had any idea that any of this was happening. So when Peter gets to Jerusalem, he tries to help the believers there understand. And he doesn't do that by arguing theology or scripture with them. Peter doesn't command them and appeal to his authority as the rock on which Jesus said the church would be built. Peter does not shout down the people who don't agree with him or who don't share his understanding. Peter simply shows up and tells the story of what God has done. Peter tells them the story of how God did something to change Peter's mind. He told them the story of how he came to see that God was doing something that he and the first believers had not expected. And it looked like breaking down these barriers about who was welcome and who was worthy. God breaking down the boundary lines of who was in and who was out. Peter just tells the story, and he leaves the rest to the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit moves. It blows through the church like a whirlwind so that the gospel spreads not just to the people of Israel in one small geography, but to the Gentiles throughout the world. The story gets retold by believers over and over again, and eventually it's told to us all the way on the other side of the world 2,000 years later because of the new thing that God has done. We Gentiles, who were once considered outsiders, the unworthy and the unclean, we have now been grafted onto life as the people of God. All because God acted and people told the story. So I want to tell you a story this morning. It's not as dramatic as Peter's by any means, but it changed me. This was the summer of 2009. I was just showing up to seminary to start my summer-long Greek course. Right at the same time, the ELCA churchwide assembly was meeting and set to address on that agenda whether gay people in relationships would be allowed to serve as pastors in churches in the ELCA that wanted to call them. I was at that point a newbie in the professional church world. I didn't really know exactly what I thought about it all, but it turned out that the Holy Spirit was working long before I got there, because my seminary housing arrangement was to share a two-bedroom apartment with a gay man who had graduated a year behind me at Lenoir Rhyn. And over the 2 years I lived with him, I saw a young man with a profound sense of God's calling and a deep commitment to being a pastor. So much so that he entered this process with the ELCA when the policy was that gay people in relationships could not serve as pastors. You could be gay and be a pastor. It just meant that you would never be in a relationship. So this means that he started seminary with the assumption that for him to be a pastor, he would never in his life have a romantic relationship. He would not ever have a partner. He had decided that as long as it was required of him, he would live a life of chastity. He committed to this four-year process of education and formation for ministry. He took out tens of thousands of dollars in student loans every year, each of those 4 years, all with the knowledge that at the end of this process, he might well have to commit to never being in a romantic relationship with someone he loved if he were going to be a pastor, which to me is remarkable. I saw it as tremendously faithful, and not only that, I saw his excitement for the gospel. I saw the many gifts he had for ministry. And pretty soon, I was convinced that his sexual orientation didn't have anything at all to do with the fact that I knew he would be a good pastor. Things were no longer unclear in my mind. Sexuality matters to the Christian life. But as I see it, it matters in how you live it out, not whether you're gay or straight. I know some of you probably disagree with that. That's okay, because disagreeing doesn't have to stop us. In fact, it can't stop us from following Jesus' command to love one another. Where our national church has come down on this is to say that faithful people come to different conclusions on this question. So where we stand as a national church right now is that churches that want to call gay pastors can, and churches that don't want to don't have to. But whether you agree with me on the issue of sexuality or not, the story of the early church is a story where, for religious reasons, the core community of believers and apostles in Jerusalem were excluding people from the community. They assumed there were categories of people who were in and other categories of people who were out, and God had a different idea on that one, which does beg some questions for us, I think. Who does this community of Holly Grove Lutheran Church exclude? Who do you exclude in your heart? And do we believe there is anything that can exclude people from God's love? God tears down the barriers in Peter's mind and the boundaries that early believers had put up. In Revelation, we hear that God will dwell with mortals, and they will be his peoples. Not people, peoples. Meaning, they aren't all the same, but they are all God's people. Like Peter, we have a story to tell. And this is our story. In love, God came to us in Jesus. Jesus cared for all people, even the ones it was unpopular to care for. In love, Jesus died on the cross for all people and was raised. And Jesus now promises to bring us with him through death into life. God will make all things new. We humans have a hard time with new. New is uncomfortable. New is scary. New is most definitely not the way we have always done it. But something new is what God is doing. A new commandment, a new interpretation of clean and unclean, insiders and outsiders, a new heaven and a new earth, new life even from the tomb. New is the story of God. So we pray, Lord, give us the repentance that leads to life, and open our eyes, ears, and hearts to the new things you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your church. Awaken in us renewed commitment to our baptismal promises, to build community, to worship together, to share our faith, to serve others, and to work for justice and peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, forgive us for the ways we have caused creation to suffer. Inspire creativity as we explore new ways of reducing our consumption. Restore, Lord, forests and waterways. Replenish habitats and threatened species. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, call all nations to the repentance that leads to life. Empower legislators to craft laws reflecting your commandments to love and serve. Bless police officers, firefighters, paramedics, first responders, and members of the armed forces who put themselves at risk for the sake of caring for others. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, make your home among us and shelter us from storms of death, mourning, crying, and pain. Draw near, Lord, to all those who weep and to those who are lonely. Restore health and wholeness to those who suffer. Especially, God, we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, the family of Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Bonnie, Billy, Gracie, Noah, Kevin, James, Robin, Dean, Vince, Lore, Scotty, Tyler, Ed, Chuck, Kathy, Laura, the family of Joe, Jen, Eric, Judy, Misty, the family of Bobby, Tim, Alice, Carolina, and all those we name now. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Right.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.